Good morning. Very warm welcome to everyone who is joining us today. And I hope that you enjoyed singing from Psalm 133. I'm going to, in a moment, pray and read from God's Word. But before then, I have a few announcements that I would like to make. Firstly, we're busy finalizing plans to try and start with our Bible study once again. More details will be shared in the coming week, but we're likely to try and start again on Thursday. So look out for that on our WhatsApp group or by email. There will be more information shared. Then also another reminder that we have an evening devotion. So this morning we have a devotion, but then again tonight where we're working through the Heidelberg Catechism, and that will be available on our Facebook page around 6 o'clock. And then finally, some news to share from church members. We saw the news about Jane's parents, so let us keep praying for her and for them, that the Lord may bless them, and if it is his will, give them health and strength. Also some good news to share from last week, which I'd like to do again today, and that is that Cornelis and Karim are expecting their fourth child. So we're glad with them about that pregnancy. Let us now pray together before we read from God's Word. Our Heavenly Father and Almighty God, you are glorious and great. You are the creator of heaven and earth. You are our King who cares for us, who guards us, who watches over our lives. We thank you for this day that you've given us, a day in which we can rest from our work, a day in which we can spend time thinking about your promises, spend time reflecting on the truths of your word. And we pray that you'll help us to use this day in a wise manner, that we will rest so that we are prepared for another week of work, another week of service in your kingdom. We'd like to pray especially, Lord, for our government. We realize that the fact that we are unable to gather together this morning is largely due to the restrictions that they have put in place. We ask that you would bring them to realization that those restrictions are unnecessary and that they will remove them. We ask that you'll also give them wisdom, Lord, as they make other decisions that influence the citizens of our country. We know it's not easy. Not easy decisions that they have to make in our current time, so please guide them. And will you help them to realize, Lord, that they are your servants, that you have called them for a specific task, the task of promoting justice and the task of ensuring freedom of religion. May they recognize those responsibilities and be eager to do them in a way that honors you. We also want to pray for those who are currently suffering, Lord, as a result of the storm and the rain in parts of Limpopo, Zimbabwe and Mozambique. We pray that lives might be protected from the floods and the dangers of that storm. We ask that you'll be with emergency services and medical personnel as they seek to help people who may have been hurt or injured. Please protect the citizens of our country, Lord, and provide for them. And we'd also like to ask, as we come to listen to your word, as we come to read from Scripture, that you'll help us to be attentive to what you wish to say to us this morning, that we'll listen carefully to your words, that we will be obedient to what we learn, and that our hearts might be warmed and encouraged by the good news of what you've done for us in Christ once again. We pray this in his name. Amen. Okay, well, our Bible reading today is from two passages. Firstly, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1, we're just going to read one verse, and then Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. So, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1 reads as follows: "Whoever isolates himself, seeks his own desire, he breaks out against all sound judgment." Maybe we can read verse 2 as well. "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." And then Colossians chapter 3, this will be the main text of our sermon. We're reading from verses 12 to 17. Let us listen to the word of God. "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So far in our reading from God's word, I'm going to be focusing in our sermon from verses 12 to 16a primarily. But I wanted to read the whole passage for context. On Wednesday evening, our church council made the decision that we should submit to the government and stop gathering for worship. This decision was based on the conviction that in extraordinary circumstances, those in authority over us may prohibit what God commands. And since the current restrictions and the motivations are motivated by a desire to save lives, they're consistent with the purposes of God's kingdom, and therefore they must be respected. Now, I'm sure that there are many of us who agree with this decision. In our wider church fellowship, it also seems as if most Reformed churches have decided to stop holding worship services and trying to do things online like we're doing this morning. And it is also the recommendation of our deputies, the deputies who are responsible for communicating with the government. However, we are by no means united in our convictions as a church. There are some of us who think that we should continue to meet for worship and that it is wrong to stop doing so. We don't think that the government has the authority to command what God prohibits. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the motivations might be, the decision to meet for worship is not subject to government approval. So here we are. We have two different understandings of what God expects from us today, two different principles by which we seek to make decisions. How are we going to resolve our differences? How are we going to move to a place where we are united in our convictions? Our passage from Colossians chapter 3 gives us some guidance, I think, in this regard. The Apostle Paul, writing primarily to Gentile Christians, he reminds them of who they are and how they should live. Truths that we also need to hear once again today. But of particular relevance for us this morning is Paul's suggestion about how we can find wisdom for our time. how we can find wisdom that will allow us to move forward in our current situation. Firstly, before we get to some suggestions for gaining wisdom, we are reminded that as Christians, we belong to God. Verse 12, God has chosen us. Just like God set his love on Israel of old, in his infinite grace and mercy, God has set his love upon you and me. He has made us part of his family. And this membership, this belonging that we enjoy, it's not thanks to our own ingenuity or accomplishment. We're not Christians because we're particularly clever or wealthy or better than our neighbors and colleagues. No, as we saw in our series from John's Gospel just last month, our genetics, they do not have a role to play in our faith, and neither does our culture or ethnicity. No, God has determined where we were born and where we grew up. He set us apart as his children and made sure that we heard the good news of Jesus Christ at the right time. God has chosen to love us and adopt us into his family out of his own free will. Now, if we know that our belonging to God's family, our membership in God's church, is entirely due to his grace, that has an impact on the way in which we think about the church. I am a member in God's church, but the church of Jesus Christ does not belong to me. We belong to God. My will, my comfort, my opinion does not determine how we must live or what we must do in this time of restrictions. God has chosen us, and God determines what his church must look like. And when it comes to our attitude and our behavior as Church of Jesus Christ, God has also clearly told us what he expects from us. And so verses 12 to 15, you'll see that there is a certain character which God the Holy Spirit wants to create in us, and then that character must also be displayed in appropriate conduct. So concerning character, verse 12 provides us with a list of the traits that must be put on by God's people. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness and patience. This is the kind of clothing that the Holy Spirit wants us to wear. Compassion and kindness. We're to have an awareness of other people's suffering and a desire to help. Being part of God's family, we must look out for one another. We must think about the wants and needs of our brothers and sisters. Putting ourselves in their shoes, considering how we might best help them. Then humility and meekness. We must not think highly of ourselves, as if we are somehow more deserving of God's grace. We may have many years of study, many years of Christian experience to fall back on, but that does not mean that our opinion is the only one that counts. There is always something for us to learn from others. There is always room for us to grow in our understanding of God's word. If we are humble and meek, we will be gentle and courteous. We will listen carefully when there are disagreements, and we will try our best to understand before we critique. Finally, patience. In any family, it always takes time to learn the family history, the mannerisms and traditions. There'll be some children who are mature and eating solid food, whilst others are still figuring out how to walk. And when it comes to our life as a church, we are no different. We come from different backgrounds, we have different opinions, preferences and emphases. Speaking with one another, we cannot simply assume that everyone sees things the way we do. We must be patient in our explanations and our discussions. So compassion, humility, patience, these are the family clothes that our Father wants us to wear. And as we seek to put on these garments, we must do so with the comfort of knowing that they belong to our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, before they became ours. In other words, we don't wear these clothes in order to become part of God's family. We wear them because God has given them to us in Christ through His Spirit. So when we hear the call to be compassionate, we remember there is no mercy so profound as to look upon those who want nothing to do with you and then to die on a cross for their redemption. No one else has ever shown such kindness as to lavish the blessings and life of heaven upon such as our worthless selves. When we find it hard to be humble, we are reminded of the majesty of Christ. Being God, He enjoyed all the glories of divinity, perfect life in God's and the presence of the Father, and yet He became man. He came to live under the curse of sin in a world of suffering and hardship for the sake of saving His people and making us part of God's family. Such humility, such meekness, they are unparalleled. And when it comes to patience, well, it's true, our patience is exhausted after 6 or 7 times. Can someone really be so thick and stupid, we ask ourselves. But thankfully, the patience of Christ knows no limits. He puts up with our sinful slowness and our dumb depravity. Time and again we have sinned against Him, and still He forgives us, as resolute and committed in His love towards us as He has always been. We put on these new clothes, therefore, because they come to us from our Father who loves us and made us part of His family. Now, as I mentioned earlier, these clothes concern the changes that the Spirit seeks to work in our hearts and minds, changes that are to be made to our character. But of course, such changes are never to remain hidden. And they're not meant to be hidden away only in the family home. They're meant to be shown and displayed in our walk amongst one another and in society. The fruits of the Spirit are to be seen in our actions. And therefore, from verses 13 to 15, we are specifically told what kind of actions are consistent with wearing these new clothes. What kind of actions? Well, verse 13, bearing with one another, forgiving one another as the Lord has forgiven us. Verse 14, loving one another, putting on love which binds everything in perfect harmony. And then verse 15, peace, living at peace, seeking peace. Those are the actions that go with our new clothes. And we have to be told about these actions because it is not in our nature to respond this way. You know, if someone has a complaint against a decision we made or something we said or did, I take things personally and I want nothing to do with them. If someone hurts me, I avoid them and pretend as if they do not exist. If a decision is made that I do not like, I get angry rather than seeking to understand. There is bound to be friction and misunderstanding in our life together as a church family. We are still sinners. It's unavoidable for us to hurt one another. We will say the wrong things. We will act in selfish ways. We will put our own comfort and interests ahead of others. But if we are to be one body, we must work to resolve conflict. Not avoid it, but resolve it. We must develop a culture where we serve one another in love, just as Christ has loved us. A culture where we are willing to be wronged for the sake of preserving peace. And I'd like to propose this morning that if we as a church truly recognize who we are, and if we have a relational culture of loving service, then we will be in a very good place to make wise decisions. We will be in a place where we can find wisdom, a place where we can move towards unity in our convictions. Notice how, having spoken about our identity, our character, and our conduct, Paul tells us in verse 16 how we can find wisdom. Now, wisdom is the ability to make God-honoring decisions in a sinful world. It's the ability to distinguish between right and wrong in different life situations, in times where God's word does not seem to give clear-cut answers. And in verse 16, Paul tells us that that wisdom comes as God's word dwells in us and shapes our conversations. Often today, when we think about wisdom, about applying scripture in our unique circumstances, we tend to focus upon the need for prayer and personal reflection. After all, didn't James say that if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives liberally to all without reproach? And wasn't Solomon granted his request when he prayed to God for wisdom? Now, God certainly grants wisdom to those who ask, but there is a danger that we can think wisdom is some kind of special insight that only comes from private meditation. However, in the context of our passage, wisdom seems to come in community. Wisdom is also almost seen as the fruit of self-sacrificial and godly living. We grow in wisdom. We grow in our ability to make wise decisions when we live well in relation to each other. When I have the interests and the well-being of fellow church members on my heart, when I'm thinking and talking about the word of Christ with others, that is the place where we need to be if we want wisdom. We need a culture of love. A culture where we live close to one another and close to God's word. And so, as an example to illustrate this, perhaps consider marriage. There are good and bad marriages, and even amongst couples who are, so to speak, cut from the same stone, there will always be disagreements and conflicts. But the closer we live together, the more that couples talk and communicate with one another. When my partner knows that I love and care for him, and he sees that love in actions, and when I set my own interests to the side for the sake of unity, in those marriages, there tends to be a lot of agreement. Agreement not only on what is essential, but also on the smaller things, which don't really make such a big difference. And agreement, unity, is what God wants for his church. In Philippians 2 verse 2, Paul writes, "Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." Do you see that the closer we live together, the more we seek to serve one another, the more agreements we will have. So for us today, where we have different convictions about what God's Word teaches us, it would seem that one solution is for us to be very deliberate in serving and reaching out to each other. If we want to be resolving our differences and uniting in our convictions, we need to strengthen the bonds of love and fellowship that exist among us. And we need to find ways in which we can talk to one another, ways in which we can grow closer together. Now that is going to be very hard for us to do in this time where we don't see each other. If we cannot speak face to face after worship services, if we cannot show hospitality and invite people into our homes, then our options for conversation, for discussion, for growing closer together, they are severely limited. However, there are still things that we can do. We can commit to praying for each other. We can join the online fellowship group when that starts up again. We can continue to share individual news and messages in our WhatsApp group. We can phone each other in response to good and bad news. I'm sure you probably have other suggestions as well. Please share them with our deacons so that they can lead us in fellowship. Living well in relation to others is important if we are to make wise decisions, but it is not the only ingredient. A husband and wife can be in complete agreement about something, and yet they can be completely wrong. And that is because even though wisdom is given and found in the context of close relationships, it is never separated from God's Word. Strong relationships provide the right context for making wise decisions, but God's Word provides the source. A seed might be planted in the best possible soil, but without sunlight and water there can be no growth. Without God's Word, there can be no true wisdom. And one of the implications of this is that there is always and must always be room for sermons or for church council decisions to be queried in the light of Scripture. If you believe that an unwise decision has been made, it is not unloving or unkind to share your opinion. Certainly not if you're working hard to build good relationships at church. You can call your elder to ask for clarity and further explanation. You can raise objections. You can even suggest other solutions to a problem, solutions which the church council may not have considered. If the word of Christ is to dwell in us richly, if we are to make wise decisions, then we must teach and admonish one another. We must test every decision against the testimony of Scripture. To conclude, family, brothers and sisters, if we are to grow in our unity as a church family, then we must work hard at developing a relational culture. A culture where we spend time together and talk about our disagreements. The closer we live together, the more we know about each other's lives and struggles. That is how we can make wise decisions. Wisdom is not a solitary attainment. As we read from Proverbs, loners are not wise. No, wisdom is given and found in the context of committed relationships as we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds together in perfect harmony. and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. May God our Father help us to bear with one another and to walk on a road that leads to wisdom, for the sake of his glory and for the good of his church. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that you have given to us this morning. Thank you for uniting us together in your church family, for gathering us from different cultures and backgrounds, and drawing us to your Son. We know, Lord, that it's hard for us to love one another. We struggle in our relationships. By nature, we are selfish. And so we pray that you will help us by your Spirit to bear with one another, to forgive, to love, and to seek peace. May we be changed, Lord, as we reflect on the truths of your word and as your Spirit works in our hearts and minds. May we be conformed more and more into the image of your Son and grow in compassion. Grow in humility, grow in meekness and kindness and patience. We know these are the fruit that you long to see in our lives. They are the fruit that we long to see in our lives. And so we pray that you would work them in us, Lord, and change us into the image of your Son more and more. Father, we ask also in this time where we have differences regarding convictions, differences regarding our understanding of what your word teaches us. Help us, Lord, to talk about those differences in a way that is helpful. Help us to test everything we do and say against the teaching of your word, and not to be shy or uncomfortable about doing so. We pray also, Lord, for those in our church who are going through hard and difficult times. We think of Jane, who's received news about her mum and dad being diagnosed with COVID and being ill of health. Please will you comfort her, Lord. Please will you lead her as she considers making a decision whether or not to go back to Canada and support her family or remain here in South Africa. It's such a sad time in which we're living, Lord, a time where we can't just see our family as we could in the past. Please comfort Jane, and please be with her mum and dad, Lord, if it is your will. We pray that you would strengthen them and give them life so that they might survive the current struggles they have with this virus. We pray also for JP and Scarlett, Lord, and ask that you would be a comfort to them following the death of Eli. Please help them to grieve, not as those who have no hope, but as those who know that there is a new resurrection, a new life after death, that we can look forward to being with you in eternity, and that even now Eli, on account of him being a child of the covenant, we can be sure that he is in your presence. We pray also for Armand, Lord, as he has come out of hospital. Please help him to be wise in the decisions that he makes about his lifestyle and his habits. Please give him strength and energy, not only to do the things which he knows is wise and healthy for him. And may we as a church family also be there to support and encourage him in this time. We're also thankful, Lord, for the good news we could receive about Cornelius and Karin and them expecting another child. We ask that you would be with Karin to keep her healthy. Please keep our mothers safe and healthy as they are carrying children in their wombs. And would you also help those children to grow healthily and strong, that we might look forward to births in the near future and welcoming more children into your church family. Lord, we pray these things trusting in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that you have the power and strength to do much more than we ask or imagine. And so we pray that you'll work all things for your glory and that you will help us as a church in this time to be loving one another and to be committed to our relationships in our church families so that we might grow in wisdom and that we might make decisions that honor you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you are at home, you'll see in the liturgy that there is a snap scan or opportunity to give to our diaconal fund. The offerings this morning will be going to the diaconal fund. And once you've done so, as a concluding song, Psalm 90, a psalm which encourages us to seek wisdom. You'll see stanza 6, if I can just read it for us. Teach us to count our days and set our hearts on wisdom's ways. How long, O Lord, and now return, and for your servants show concern. Each morning fill us with your grace. We'll sing for joy through all our days. It's a good song to sing as we conclude our time together this morning. Pray that the Lord might give you a restful Lord's day. And look forward and hope that you can join us again this evening for our evening devotion. Goodbye.